Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
Yes, and Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
Unbelievable that it's already here.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is, Palm Sunday. One of my favorite days, actually, because there's so much about this day that is prophesied about in the Old Testament. Jesus comes into the city and fulfills so much of the prophecies, and it's just really exciting to me.
It is.
Yes.
Who's your favorite prophet, though?
Ooh, well, that would have to be Isaiah, although we're going to talk about my favorite minor prophet, who's Zechariah.
Minor prophet.
Zechariah. Yeah.
Zechariah.
Oh, yeah. Of course, there's also Zephaniah that I really like.
Yeah.
And then
good.
There's Joel. He's good. He's only got, you know, three chapters. I can't remember. But three chapters.
And how many chapters does Isaiah have again?
Just 66.
66. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
He had to use a lot of ink and parchment for that.
These other guys just wrote everything in one day, probably.
So anyway. There is a lot of importance of Palm Sunday, and there is a lot of fulfillment of the prophecies for Palm Sunday.
And even and for those of you that I know haven't taken my Torah class, there's even so much significance in the palms that are being waved. Maybe we should just do it instead of talking about it. Maybe we should just get into it.
Yeah.
That probably makes more sense.
That is true.
Yeah. You know, Palm Sunday is mentioned in all four Gospels, so you could pick whichever one. I like, I don't know. I like Matthew's. I like Luke's. I like John's. My wife told me we never teach anything from Mark, but I'm sure Mark is awesome too.
Uh-oh. We don't want to leave Mark out.
No, but anyway, I think before we talk about the gospel accounts and kind of explain it, Stephen, why don't you read, Zechariah 9:9? Because this isn't really, if you went to church this morning, and your pastor or priest or minister or whichever you have at your church, chances are he didn't mention this. I don't know if it's in any of the main denomination readings or not. But it's one of my favorite minor prophets, Zechariah 9:9. You should have time now to flip to it, but this is an awesome verse. Why don't you go ahead and read it, Steve?
Exalt greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. A just savior is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Woo! So how cool is this? So he's telling Jerusalem to rejoice, and not just to be happy, but to shout. We're going to get into the Palm Sunday accounts in a minute. Mm-hmm. But he wants Jerusalem to shout because the king is coming. Now, they've been waiting a long time. This prophecy was, 500 and something BC, I think, or maybe even earlier than that. I don't remember now offhand. But they've been waiting a long time for Messiah. They've been waiting a long time for the king. So Zechariah says, you should be rejoicing. You should be shouting because the king is coming. And he's coming into the city, and not only is he coming into the city, but he's just, he's righteous, he's bringing salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing salvation. This is a very powerful concept that he's bringing righteousness and salvation, but he's also lowly, and he's riding on a donkey. And it's not even an adult donkey, it's a baby donkey. It's the foal of a donkey. Mm-hmm. So it's a colt. It's a very young donkey. Normally when kings went on a parade or went into a city, they rode on big white horses. mm-hmm. where they had awesome chariots that were kind of like the Mercedes version of a chariot in those days.
Awesome.
Or like a limousine chariot or something. But now this king's coming on a little donkey. He's the king. He's the Messiah. You know, the in Psalm 2, I like Psalms. I love David.
I do too.
In Psalm 2, you know, it says God sets him on the holy hill of Zion, sets his king on the holy hill of Zion. So the king goes into the city, and he has authority and he has power, but he's riding on a donkey.
Yeah.
And in those days, you know, if you go to Jerusalem now, you see the Eastern Gate, which was blocked up by the Turks because they thought in case the Messiah came back, he couldn't get into the city that way.
Yeah. Didn't mean to laugh, sorry.
I'm guessing that wouldn't be much of an obstacle to him. But
probably not, since he could pass. Yeah, if you think about him passing through the walls after he was risen, it's not.
But the Eastern Gate is there, and he came from the Mount of Olives, as we're going to get to in a minute. And in Jesus' day, there was actually a land bridge that went from the bottom of the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley into the Eastern Gate. Mm-hmm. And so he came over this land bridge on his donkey with this group of people that we're going to talk about into the city. And in the Eastern Gate, you know, there's prophecies that the Messiah comes in through the Eastern Gate, that he comes from the Mount of Olives. In fact, he's also going to return to the Mount of Olives. So after this long wait, he's coming into the city. He's bringing salvation, and the people are supposed to rejoice and shout out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the account that is proclaimed actually at the beginning of a service on Palm Sunday, that was today, that was this morning, is taken from Luke's gospel, in chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. And, you know, there it talks about that he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, went to the, you know, near the Mount of Olives, and he tells his disciples to go into the village, and there's going to be a colt, you're going to find it, and tell the person that the master has need of it. But as he enters the city, the people lay down their cloaks, they spread their palms, and they proclaim, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace mm-hmm. in heaven and glory in the highest." And we know the Pharisees tells Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples." Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out."
Mm.
Yeah. Because he made the stones. Even the stones know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because that's an excellent point, because if all the people suddenly felt silent that day, all of creation would have cried out.
Yeah.
This was a day that had been planned from before anything was created, had mm-hmm. been planned from all of eternity. This is why, you know, there wasn't a lot of preparation made. It wasn't talked about until that day when Jesus said, "Oh, go in the city, you're going to see this donkey. Untie it, bring it over here." He didn't tell them ahead of time. He didn't say, "Now look, we got to take a couple of weeks to figure out what we're going to do on Sunday. Go get the donkey, bring it here."
Yeah.
Very little preparation time.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys probably didn't have a clue what was going to happen. And the guy who owned the donkey probably was saying, "Hey, where are you guys going with my donkey?"
Yeah.
And Jesus anticipated that and told them, "Tell them that the master has need of it. And, you know, I'm going to borrow it."
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've spent the morning listening to a prosperity preacher, think about this. Jesus didn't even have his own donkey. He had to borrow one. He had to borrow a donkey.
He really created the donkey. So it's like, I'm going to use the creature that I created for, I'll give it back to you, but I'm just going to use it for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. Jesus does not own possessions mm-hmm. here on earth. He had a tunic, mm-hmm. but you don't see Jesus, you know, he wasn't living in a palace.
No.
He didn't have, you know, he didn't really have anything.
Mm-mm. No place to lay his head.
Right.
Never owned a house.
Right. So That's a very interesting and valid point. Yeah.
And if people donated money, or the apostles took up a collection, they put it in Judas's purse, and Judas paid expenses as they went.
Yeah.
It never said Jesus said, "Hey, how much do you want for that?" Or "How much money do we have in the bag?" Or
right.
It was not about his possession.
Mm-hmm.
And he borrowed this donkey to do a plan that had existed since eternity.
Yeah.
Because this is part of the act of salvation. And he had to fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah. Jesus commonly said, "We're doing this so that the prophets can be fulfilled, so that all righteousness can be fulfilled, so that, you know, things that are in the scroll that are about me anyway need to be fulfilled."
Right.
And one of the things that has to be fulfilled is I have to ride into the city on a donkey, not a big white horse, a servant, a service animal.
Yeah.
And a little service animal at that.
Yeah.
Because now he's coming as the suffering servant. When he comes back, he's not going to be riding on a donkey.
No.
No, there's not going to be anything humble and quiet about it.
No, he's going to be coming back to judge the nations.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's very revealing as he enters into the city that he is riding on this baby donkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fanfare that is happening is because the people are shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Yes.
Jesus himself doesn't proclaim like, "Hey everybody, I'm here. I'm the king.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get up and give me homage."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He doesn't do any of that.
Yeah, that's
right. He comes, you know, he tells his disciples what the plan is, as you said. There was no planning before this. And they do as he says, as they probably were becoming accustomed to doing, is to listening to him and doing what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what a disciple is there for, is to do what his master says.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we should probably take an example of that.
Exactly.
Most of the time.
As being a humble servant.
Being a humble servant. But this humble service animal that he comes in on, you know, I think speaks volumes to the lowly, I don't want to say stature or nature, but just the humbleness that Jesus shows humanity, not just his disciples and not just the people there in that day, but throughout human history. He shows the willingness to be a servant, not to come and do his own will, but to do the will of his Father who sent him, and to lay down his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah.
And just to place himself at the service of what the Father has asked him to do.
Yeah. He even says, you know, before this, and I think it's in Matthew, I can't remember the chapter, it might be 10 or 11, you know, "Learn from me because I'm meek and humble of heart. And the donkey symbolizes that. It's an animal of service. You know, a king would be disgraced by that. I mean, King Solomon would have never ridden into the city on a donkey.
Right.
Oh, you know, a great emperor, you know, one of the Caesars wouldn't have ridden into Rome on a donkey. You would be on some big majestic white horse, because then everybody knew that you had the power. But he was the king, all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
But this is another example that his kingdom is not of this world. He doesn't have to have the earthly trappings of being a king, because he's coming now as the suffering servant. You know, this is the Isaiah 53 stuff that's about to happen, where he's, you know, pretty much emptied of everything, even from a human viewpoint. And he's coming to be the sacrifice. He's coming to be the lamb. And of course, for those of you who didn't take my Torah course, it was Passover time. Passover was coming. And so people would start arriving in the city to celebrate the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
There were lots and lots of people in the city for Passover. It was a pilgrimage feast. And if you read the Passover accounts, you have the lamb for a few days before you sacrifice it.
Right.
And the day that he rides into the city, which is Palm Sunday, we would call Palm Sunday. They didn't call Palm Sunday.
Right.
That was the day that the people went out and started looking for a lamb to get. Because mm-hmm. if you lived in the city, you didn't have your own flock.
Right.
So you had to buy a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And so the lambs were on display. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you know, whether you took my Torah class or not, you would know that the lamb had to be unblemished.
Right.
So you couldn't find some spotted lamb or some lamb that had some skin disease or some sickly little lamb and say, oh, let's take that one.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be an unblemished lamb.
Yeah.
So people would go out and inspect the lambs to see, yeah. to make sure they were pure. At that time, the true lamb was riding into the city.
Yeah. An
so
unblemished lamb.
The lamb, the true lamb's being shown as I'm the unblemished lamb for sacrifice
mm-hmm.
while the people are shopping for a real lamb that they're going to sacrifice for Passover.
Yeah. And of course, all this is, you know, from the book of Exodus.
Yes.
When God delivers his people out of Egypt.
Yes, absolutely. And it's fascinating. The lamb's publicly shown, the true lamb's publicly shown in a way that this is the only time Jesus rode triumphantly anywhere. Every time else, you know, every other time he walked, you know, going to the crucifixion, of course, was not a procession. It was a horrible walk.
Mm.
This was a procession with a lot of joy around it, with a lot of excitement around it, with a lot of singing. And he, you know, 2 Corinthians says, for our sake, he became poor. As the suffering servant, as the true lamb, he shows himself to the people. You know, interestingly, too, I was thinking the other night, because I did this at one of my groups, the lambs had to be inspected to make sure they were unblemished.
Right.
And the correlation to that is Jesus is tried before this, you know, kangaroo court of the Sanhedrin.
Right.
So he's inspected by them. He doesn't have any blemish, mm-hmm. but they're inspecting him.
Yeah.
Just before the sacrifice, just like they inspected the lamb.
Yeah.
Because if you'd shown up at the temple with a lamb that was lame, had a broken foot, they'd have said, well, you can't sacrifice this one.
Yeah.
Because he's not unblemished.
Right. Right. As you were talking, I was looking back in the book of Exodus into chapter 12, where God gives them the Passover ritual
mm-hmm.
for, you know, he speaks to Moses and Aaron. And tells them that they're gonna celebrate this. Tell the whole community of Israel on the 10th of the month, every family must procure itself a lamb. And it goes on where he says, this day will be a day of remembrance for you. This is verse 14 in chapter 12 of Exodus, which your future generations will celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord. You will celebrate it as a statute forever. So, and they were to celebrate it as the first, as in the first person, that this day
mm-hmm.
God delivered me from slavery and bondage in
mm-hmm.
Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Not this day my great, 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 great grandfather was delivered from Egypt and I had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Very,
because
very
each
important.
Person told it in the first person.
Yep.
And the symbolism is that we're delivered from the slavery of sin, mm-hmm. each of us individually.
Right.
Oh, I hear Paul Wilbur. Oh, I love this song.
Here he is.
Remember, check out GiveThroughGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Then we will rejoice as we're clothed with your righteousness. Thank you. and the ark of your mind. Then we will rejoice as we're clothed with your righteousness and celebrate the love. Baruch Abba, Shem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. It's an awesome song.
Yeah, it is. Speaks well to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
today.
But, you know, as the music started, Steve was reading about the lamb, and then it said something about being delivered from slavery. But Passover, of course, is the foretelling of this. It's the type of this. This is the true Passover. This is where we get the word Paschal.
Mm-hmm.
Why the
Paschal,
you know,
sacrifice.
Yeah, the Latin languages use some variety of Pascha as the word for Easter, because it comes from Paschal, which comes from Passover, comes from Pesach in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
We use, of course, many of you know, a pagan name. Of a fertility goddess to get Easter.
Oh.
But more and more people are calling it Resurrection Day or Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
I kind of like that too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but the key, of course, was the blood of the lamb.
Yep. Very important.
Yeah, because when you go back to Abraham almost sacrificing Isaac, the lamb dies in the place of the boy.
Mm-hmm.
The people are delivered by the blood of the lamb. There, if you're under the blood, you're saved from the curse. And then, of course, by the blood of Jesus, we're saved from the curse of sin, so that when the, you know, equivalent of the angel of death passes over, if you're covered in his blood, your sin is covered and atoned for. And these are the parallels.
Right, because Moses summoned all the elders of Israel. When they were to go procure the lamb for the families and slaughter the lamb. Mm-hmm. And he told them, you know, take some hyssop, dip it in the basin where the blood's at, and cover the doorpost and, the lintels, the entranceway of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was allowed to go out until morning.
Yeah. It's pretty ugly out there.
Yeah. So this blood that was from the lamb that they procured and sacrificed was a sign that they were covered in the blood of that lamb.
Yes.
And that they were protected.
Yes.
Because God had decreed this for them to do.
Yes.
That's very important.
That's the key. And the lamb was innocent and unblemished.
Right. Had nothing to do with their sin.
Right. That's right. An innocent victim.
Right.
Yes.
So, as the angel of death came over, as God executed judgment upon the land of Egypt, wherever there was blood on the doorpost, the firstborn of that family, with, you know, man and beast alike, did not die.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was not blood on the doorpost, then the firstborn of every generation in that family of man and beast alike was slain.
Yes. That's an excellent point.
Yeah. And there was, I mean, I don't think we can, you know, it had to be one, just a horrific event.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
The scripture says there was wailing and screaming all through the land of Egypt.
Right.
People, animals, it was horrible. And the Israelites were in their homes.
Hearing this.
Hearing all of this. In fact, if any of you have ever been to a Seder meal for Passover, we do various Messianic Seders, but traditional Seders too. There's actually a portion in the Seder meal, which, of course, the Last Supper was a Seder.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know that, you definitely have to take my Torah class. But there's a part of the Seder where you take out drops of wine, you know, that represent the plagues. But then there's also a prayer that says, gee, you know, the Egyptians really suffered because of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they recognized the suffering of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Because to think that all your firstborn, I mean, if you had a pet cat who was the firstborn of the litter, it died
mm-hmm.
while you were standing there.
Yeah.
And if if your father was the firstborn of his family, he died.
Yeah.
If your mother was the firstborn of her family, she died.
Mother, father, grandfather.
Yeah. Firstborn man and beast.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and you know, the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, he wouldn't let the people go.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly these people are let go and they travel to the land of, you know, they travel back to Israel or mm-hmm. back to the land. But as you said, they heard this all night long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was not a time of, wow, God's delivered us and set us free. Mm-hmm. There had to be great sorrow there
mm-hmm.
because their freedom came at a price.
Yes.
Just as our freedom comes at a price.
Yes.
You know, to actually witness and see another human being or another creature die
mm-hmm.
so that you can be set free.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality of what happens here.
Yeah. And it's a direct correlation to us being delivered from sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're under the blood of Jesus, you're saved from the curse. You don't have the blood. You're the one that's wailing in agony.
Yeah.
When your judgment comes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct correlation.
Yeah.
It's a curse. Egypt has always been a sign of slavery and sin. And it is with us as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, and by the way, if you like this kind of teaching, connecting Old Testament, New Testament, which of course is what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some information coming up about a new ministry that we're starting that you might enjoy coming to.
Oh,
yeah.
When's that going to be?
That's going to be, I think, the very end of April.
Okay.
And
keep me posted.
Yeah. Are you on my email list?
I would like to go to that.
Yeah. I think you should do some music there.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I think you're on the email list.
I think I am.
Anyway, we'll have some more coming up in a week or two. But anyway, so there's a direct correlation, but so the entrance into the city is to do this, is to be the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Western Church, we've kind of taken the Easter time on a different, we've put it on a different schedule. So sometimes it correlates with Passover, sometimes it doesn't. And of course, the Hebrew calendar is a lunar calendar. So Passover moves around. Easter weekend moves around. So they don't always correlate with each other.
Right.
Like this year, they're, I think, 3 weeks apart.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're 4 weeks apart. Sometimes they correlate. But anyway, the main thing, but that's important. But the main thing is the entrance into the city. And you can read this in all four Gospels, and we're not going to take them individually. But
including Mark's?
Including Mark's. Mark does probably an awesome job. I just don't read Mark. No, just kidding.
Now he's going to be waiting for you.
Matthew,
Mark, Luke, and John.
He's going to be in line. Job. There's going to be a line of people waiting for
him. Phil, can I talk to you first before you? Wait, no, before you enter. Come on, over here.
Oh, man. It could be all eternity of people going, come here, Matt. But anyway, interestingly, this, you know, we mentioned there's a celebration
mm-hmm.
because there's multitudes that line the streets.
Yeah.
And they're rejoicing and they're singing just like Zechariah tells mm-hmm. them to do.
Yeah.
Now you notice the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're not lining the streets cheering and singing. They're not.
They're not?
No, they're not.
Where are they at?
They're pretty upset about this.
They are?
Yeah.
Why?
Very upset about this.
How come?
In fact, first of all, they don't like all these common people running after this common-looking guy who's pretty much of a troublemaker. And even though they see Zechariah 9:9 unfolding before their eyes, they see this as, oh, no, here comes the troublemaker again. And now he's got all these crazy people dancing around. But what really gets them mad is they cut down palm branches and they wave them and they say, Hosanna to the Son of David.
Uh-oh.
This is... Now, this is why it's important to study the Old Testament. What does this mean? Well, Son of David is the messianic title.
Mm-hmm. Of the Messiah.
Of the Messiah.
Yep.
Hosanna means come and save us.
Yeah.
So come and save us, Son of David, means here comes the Messiah, come and save us.
Yeah.
Their leaders know exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. Now, when you're sitting in your church this morning and you hear that, you may not get the full grasp of what that means. These guys got it.
Yeah.
They said these common, ordinary, loudmouth people think that this guy's the Messiah, the Son of David, and they're telling him to come and save them. We got to put a stop to this.
Yep.
This is trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This threatens our power structure, threatens our job, threatens our whole setup we got here.
Yeah.
And we're pretty sure that this violates the law,
mm-hmm.
one way or another. And these multitudes are honoring him. The palm branches come from the Feast of Sukkot, which you may know as the Feast of Tabernacles, where you wave branches as you praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you wave four different kinds of branches. One of them is a palm.
Mm-hmm.
So here, I mean, that's another Old Testament thing being fulfilled.
Right.
So they're waving branches and saying Hosanna to the Son of David. They're putting branches in front of him. They're welcoming him in this amazing way. And then they're adding, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
So it's not just that they're placing palm branches on the ground and they're putting their cloaks on the ground. It's not just that they're honoring him coming into the city. It's really they're saying, he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God.
Yes.
Come and save us.
Yes.
And the Pharisees understand this, and they go, whoa, wait a minute.
Yes.
You got to tell them to stop this now.
And that's in Luke's account.
Yes.
They say, Rabbi, and I'm sure they said it sarcastically.
Yeah,
they said, Rabbi, make them stop.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, his famous response about the stones crying out. No one is going to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Because like we said, this has been planned.
Yeah.
And this outpouring of praise by the people who understand and believe is the first part of the, there's three groups of people here. This is the one group, we would call them the believers. You know, they know this is the Messiah. They've heard him. They've seen him. They've seen his miracles. And now this is kind of a exciting entrance into the city. And they may or may not know this was Zechariah 9:9, but the leader should have known. So the leaders, as we point out, are another group. We have to put a stop to this because this is getting out of hand. You know, we're here. Everybody's supposed to be picking out their lamb today. And now these guys are coming in here kind of causing all this commotion. So Rabbi, make them stop this.
Yeah.
And make them stop praising you. Because when they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they're quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 118. They're using messianic titles and they're asking him to save them. So this is quite a commotion.
Yeah.
Then there's another group of people that say, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
These are kind of the clueless people that are just wandering around doing their stuff. Because remember, Sunday's a regular work day in the land.
Right.
You know, saying, well, who is this? They don't even know who it is. They just hear the commotion.
Well, if you think about this, they've celebrated this festival, this feast day, every year since they were delivered out of Egypt.
Yes.
You know, centuries.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes.
So Jesus is most likely 32, 33 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He would have celebrated this feast every year.
Mm-hmm.
He he would have come into the city with his family every year like this.
Mm-hmm.
But this year it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his public ministry had been taking place for 3 years. And so there were at least 2 years where he entered the city and celebrated this Passover feast.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it's different.
Yes.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying, the Pharisees are there, the people are there assembling, and they're getting ready to celebrate Passover, looking for a lamb, procuring a lamb for their families, and they're going to celebrate this feast, not having any idea that this is going to take place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Paul later tells us in the book of Romans, which is my second favorite book, that of all the people that should have known this was Messiah, it should have been these leaders.
Yeah.
Because they had, as we like to say, all the stuff. They said all the stuff. This should have, just like when the Magi came into Jerusalem and said, and Herod said, where's the Messiah to be born? Because he doesn't have a clue.
Right.
The leaders say right away, Bethlehem.
Yeah.
They know Micah chapter 2. I mean, chapter 5. They know that already. When these guys are watching this happen, they should say, wait, could this possibly be Zechariah 9:9?
Mm.
I mean, he's a guy on a donkey. Some people are calling him king. Some people are calling him son of David. Some people are saying Hosanna. Maybe we should investigate this a little bit.
But they don't.
But they don't.
Just like Herod, nobody went with the, just like Herod and the Pharisees at that time, nobody went with the wise men to go and see the newborn king.
Yeah. So there's all these different people. There's all these different emotions going on. So here he is, you know, he's the king of Israel. He's the holy one of Israel. And, you know, he's the glory of Israel, as our friend Simeon had said. But only one group of these people know who he is. The other two groups don't know who he is.
Right.
Or maybe some of the Pharisees knew who he was, but they didn't want to deal with it. But I don't know.
Right.
But they don't know who he is. And there were a lot of people around that had teachers. There were a lot of, well, John the Baptist had disciples that he walked around with. There were a lot of teachers that had disciples. But you didn't generally see this kind of thing happen with any of these teachers.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there were uprisings, there were movements and those types of things, but nothing on the scale of what happened when Jesus came to the city, or even for that matter, when Jesus was going around and healing people,
mm-hmm.
opening the eyes of someone born blind.
Yeah.
Unheard of, never happened before Jesus was on the scene, if you will.
Yeah.
And so all these signs and all these wonders, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees are very perplexed by all this.
Mm-hmm.
How can this be happening?
They're not in control of the situation.
you bring up a very good point.
Yeah.
This is our thing. We got the power. We have the control. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You didn't ask for permission to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we certainly didn't give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't theirs to give.
Yeah. Exactly.
It was God's.
Yeah. I mean, the whole city was probably pandemonium that day.
Yeah.
And you get the impression, you don't know for sure, but you get the impression that these people that are saying, Hosanna, son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and so forth, they're the common uneducated people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the leaders, certainly.
Right.
And, you know, maybe this was another one of these kind of revolutionaries, or maybe this was another one of these teachers that thought he was a, you know, some kind of big shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the main point, I think, from the Pharisees' point of view is, hey, we're in charge here. We don't know who this guy is, but we're in charge. This is not the first time they've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been labeled a troublemaker.
Right.
They already know. They're already plotting to kill him.
Right.
So this is more, you know, this is another sign for them that this guy's nothing but trouble.
Right.
Because now he's upsetting the whole city, let alone just them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as you said, they've seen him. They've, you know, he went into the temple, cleaned out the temple.
Yeah.
Said, you know, you're making my father's house a den of, a house of thieves and robbers.
Yep.
You know, a marketplace. So they've had, you know, they wanted to hurl him headlong down a cliff.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah.
But he passed through their midst because it wasn't his time.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very familiar with who Jesus was and is.
Mm-hmm.
And even when, you know, they say, you know, tell us plainly, who are you?
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
And that infuriates them even more.
Oh. Oh, I like this song too.
Mm.
Ooh, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, yeah, we have to mention a couple other things, but there's so much other stuff to talk about. You know, in John's account, you know, the people call him King of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the Pharisees mad, too.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know... It's interesting. He's called the king. And of course he tells Pilate his kingdom's not of this world, but mm-hmm. you know, the kingdom is like breaking in now.
Yeah.
You know, when he's born, the kingdom breaks into time. Now it's come into a crescendo
mm-hmm.
because as we approach the time of the cross, which is just in a few days from now, from this time, you know, the covenants are going to change. The prophecies are going to come true. The kingdom is going to break in a very powerful way.
Yeah.
And the disciples may not have, probably didn't understand it then either.
Right.
Because you don't see Peter going, do you think this might be Zechariah 9:9? I don't know. But
right.
later on, when they look back on it, they probably said, wow, remember that Sunday that we went into the city?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. That was Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah, no, they probably didn't have, as we've talked many times, they probably didn't really understand everything that was taking place
right.
and the fulfillment of what prophecies were being fulfilled
That's right.
in their midst. Because, as you say, in a few days, he's going to be like a lamb led mm-hmm. to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not going to open his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, he's led before Pilate. Pilate finds says, I don't find any guilt in this man. But they want him crucified.
Yeah.
But, you know, when Jesus is talking to, and I think we did this, I thought we talked about this one year, about the woes to the scribes and Pharisees, where Jesus, this is in Matthew 23, where he talks to them. Say he, you know, they make up all these other traditions that heap burdens upon the people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus tells them, you don't lift a finger to help these people. And a matter of fact, you're preventing them from maybe entering the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Not only do you not go in, but you prevent them from going in.
Right. And not, you know, and not to be misunderstood, but Jesus also tells the people, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not about, you know, he's very clear. It's not about, well, you have to be as holy as they are. No, you have to follow God with your whole heart and not put obstacles in your brothers and sisters' path.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But he says this in the end of Matthew 23 in verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you or sent to you. How many times I yearned to gather your children together as a hen gathers her young under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned, desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Mm.
Now this is after he says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 times, 7
yeah.
times.
Those are called the woes.
The woes.
Yeah.
Now, the people that day said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Exactly.
But did the Pharisees or the scribes say that?
No.
Did any of the leaders, those who were had authority over the people or a place of position of power over the people, did they say that?
No.
No. So, you know, in some regards,
the common people said it.
But he's talking to as he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, you will not see me again until you say.
Yes.
So is he talking to the scribes and Pharisees that until you say this,
yes,
you're not going to see me
yeah.
again. And even when he came, you know, and we'll talk about this next week, but even when he comes back, he doesn't appear to them.
That's right. They did not see him again.
Right.
Never went back to the temple. They didn't see him again. After the resurrection, they didn't see him. They never went back to the temple. And interestingly, too, as he tells the Pharisees, you won't see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In December of 2004, the Sanhedrin was reconstituted.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Sanhedrin now.
Right.
So I think that's another strong sign that he's coming back soon, because the Sanhedrin, the governing group of Pharisees, they don't call themselves Pharisees anymore, but in order for Jesus to come back, they have to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And now there's a group that can say that. So I think that's another prophetic sign,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
concerning his return.
Yeah.
And the leadership then is going to really be convicted when he does come back. As we also see in Zechariah chapter 12. Boy, Zechariah is awesome. But anyway, they're going to end up saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. They're going to look on him whom they've pierced. They're going to mourn like you mourn for an only son.
Yeah.
They're going to be converted, as Paul says. They're going to be, all Israel will be saved at the end. And Zechariah told them, you should check this out when it happens, because you should be happy and you should be dancing. Just like the show we did a couple of weeks ago when
yeah.
Jesus told them, you know, Abraham saw my day and he was so excited he couldn't stand himself.
Yeah.
And you guys are a bunch of poops because you're in my day.
Yeah.
And you're planning to kill me.
Yeah. 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 There's this, you know, this time of rejoicing, like, and just like the wise men. They
yeah.
come to bring, you know, we've come to pay him, we've come to do him homage.
Yeah.
They want to see the king, the newborn king. They enter the city. There's nothing going on.
That's right.
When did this happen? We don't know. I mean, talk about missing the party. Jeez. Yeah. You know. But it's a, you know, it's a reminder to us that, you know, during the season of Lent, as we journey through the season of Lent, which is coming to a close, and we enter into this, the season of resurrection, the Easter season of resurrection, we rise again to new life with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to embrace our cross, and we have to follow Jesus through the whole season of Lent into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we have to be willing to pick up our cross and follow him. We can't get to Resurrection Day without being somehow transformed or go through some metanoia to allow God to fashion us, to mold us and prune us, that we can become like the image of his son.
Yeah. Discipleship is a hard thing.
It is. It is.
You know, in our time, we've made it kind of cushy by go to church, sit in a nice pew, warm the church up, cool the church down. Isn't this nice?
Yeah.
But discipleship is very difficult.
It is. It is. It's very difficult to, you know, on a day-to-day basis, follow Jesus.
Yes. And each one of us is faced with that on a day-to-day basis, whether you're at work, whether you're at the store, whether you're home watching TV. I mean, no matter where you are, you're faced with that.
Yeah, because we're bombarded with a lot of things with media, with communication devices and stuff like that. We're just bombarded with it. And, you know, a lot of that stuff can, when there's a lot of distractions, it's easy to get off track, to do different things that maybe we shouldn't do. But to stay focused on the Lord and the plan that God has for us, that's what's really important.
Ooh, it's the end of the show already.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day and have an awesome Holy Week this week.
And we just pray that through this week leading up to the resurrection of Jesus, that you would enter into the passion of Christ, his suffering, his death, that leads to his resurrection. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.